the fuck, dude? All right, we got balls in your mouth.
All right.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You're listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
Episode 145.
Olé! Yes.
That's what we're doing this week. If you've never listened to us before, we are an all Pearl Jam podcast. And thanks for listening. How you doing, Brad?
I'm great.
You thought that spiel was going to be a little bit longer, didn't you? You kind of moved away from the mic.
You sound like how I feel.
Yeah.
It's been a little while. Like, we're kind of off our game, maybe.
Man, yeah, probably. Probably. How you doing?
Good.
Cool.
I was off this weekend. That always feels good.
That's great.
Lots of big life things happening,
yeah.
Maybe. Amanda's wanting to move.
All right.
To, like, move out, you know, like, on her own, which is a big deal, which means we might be moving, which is a big deal.
What?
So, yeah.
Saying bye to Paris, Tennessee.
Yeah, hopefully.
Man.
But it's all just kind of up in the air right now.
I mean, there's so much change going on. Might as well throw some more on, you know what I'm saying? Just get it all done
exactly.
At once.
Yeah. And we're all this in the middle of a pandemic.
Sure.
So it's all good, though. It's nothing bad. That's the good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, how are you?
This last week has not been so good. I'm just going to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Pretty depressed. But I'm coming out of it, though.
About it.
Huh? Good.
I said, do you want to talk about it?
I mean, I'm not the only one. You know what I mean? It's all. If I was the only one, if I felt like I was the only one, I just wouldn't even say anything about it. But shit, man, a lot of us feel that way. Where everyone has different times. I know for me, it's been this like up and down. Everything from, oh my God, my throat hurts. I've got it. To,
yeah.
I don't know. Just kind of. Aiden was gone all week. That was probably good since I was having kind of a rough week, but at the same time, just missed him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now he's gone for another 8 days, and that sucks, but I'm happy.
Yeah,
to be
Amanda's
here.
Amanda's usually gone during the week, and she'll come home like on the weekends. It's, like, she still lives here, though. You know what I mean? Even
sure.
though she's not here.
Right.
But it's like, well, this is what it's going to be. I don't like worrying she's about her. And,
right.
You know? And then she's worried about bringing COVID home to us.
Right.
And I'm
she's
like,
not.
We don't know.
Part of me is like, oh, you're over
it. It's all over the place
so,
here now. I finally know people. More,
well, then that.
Multiple people.
Most people
know?
Here are fucking ignorant rednecks, so no one's wearing masks, you know, and everyone's like fighting it as it wasn't like
all
that,
the you know
for the last
I work,
month or so
everywhere is-
so everyone's arguing about that, and it's just like everyone's making it into a huge deal.
I did not expect that.
Sorry.
Freedom.
It's just crazy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that whole yeah.
Well, you know.
So
let's fucking talk about Pearl Jam. Fuck
yeah,
all that
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah. It's getting depressing in here.
God bless.
Yeah, we're supposed to be an escape. We're supposed to be an escape from
I know. We broke our rule there. Should we start with some emails?
Yes.
Let's do that. Because we, you know, we have a opportunity to bring something back from the vault here.
Yes, I'm so
Am
excited.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So this first email, who you have first, Brad?
This is a young man named Ford Sibylhorn.
And Ford, for your email, you get the story time bumper.
Good evening. This is Storytellers. We are here to tell stories.
We just have friends up here that are listening to stories.
Have I got a little story for you?
This is the true story.
Man, that brings back some memories.
I know. I get chills. It's been a while.
Hell yeah.
All right. Dear Brads, B and L, my name is Ford, and I have been meaning to reach out to you guys for a long time now. I've been a Pearl Jam fan for 6 years now, which I know is a pretty short amount of time for most diehards, but I just turned 19, so maybe I can catch a break there. I can remember hearing Pearl Jam from time to time, either on the radio or when playing Guitar Hero, but it was really only until I rummaged through my dad's old CDs that I really got hooked. One look at that strange and textured cover of Vitalogy was all it took, it would seem. At that time, I had only heard bits and pieces of 10, so Vitalogy just blew my fucking mind. Unlike 10, which is great, of course, Vitalogy felt so raw, and it genuinely was unlike anything I had heard before. Songs like Pry 2, Bugs, and I, Davenita gave the record such an experimental flavor that I just ate it up. Can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, I love hearing that.
That's one thing I love. Yeah, I love like that sentiment because I don't think I've ever heard somebody say it like that. A lot of people bitch about like, oh, those filler songs and Bugs is so weird and dumb. It's like, I mean, we've said this before. I like that those weird songs are on that record.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird thing to say, and there's probably a better way to say it, but I almost feel like Vitalogy wouldn't, I'd still be in my top five records, but it just wouldn't be the same. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's I'm glad that he picked up on it, the experimental part of that album, instead of just being like, what is this crap?
Exactly.
He continues, Vitalogy has always been at the forefront of my favorites for that reason, but the King, No Code, still sits on my top albums list alongside my other two favorites, Young Team by Mogwai and Undercurrent by Bill Evans. Great fucking records.
Dude, you've got you got some fucking mature taste for a 19-year-old. I like that shit. That's awesome.
I need to check out, I've heard Bill Evans before, jazz dude, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard of Mogwai, but I don't think I've ever listened. When I read this, I put both of those into my like Apple Music. I added them. I'm going to listen to those this week.
I'm just glad you didn't say Bob Evans.
Bob. I know Bob Evans too.
I know you
unfortunately,
do.
Unfortunately, I'm very well versed in Bob Evans' world. I am a huge audiophile and for the most part listen mostly to post-rock, electronic music, and jazz. But Pearl Jam has never stopped being a mainstay in my life, despite most of my favorite bands from when I was younger. Let me do that again. I'm a huge audiophile, and for the most part, listen mostly to post-rock, electronic music, and jazz. But Pearl Jam has never stopped being a mainstay in my life, despite most of my favorite bands from when I was younger falling by the wayside. It must just have to do with so many of life's big or first moments being tied to the band. The first song I learned on guitar was Last Kiss. I wrote my common application essay on Pearl Jam, and my first tattoo was a simple outline of the 10 cover. Plus, with songs in their catalog like Present Tense and Hard to Imagine, how could they not be my favorite? My Pearl Jam related stories are few in number, but the best Pearl Jam related memory for me has to be the one Pearl Jam concert experience. I got to see them in Hampton, Virginia in 2016, which was only an hour from Gloucester.
Sounds right.
Virginia, where I lived at the time. I now have moved to Richmond and am pursuing an Never mind. He's trying to get an English degree. I was lucky enough to be going with my uncle, who has been a giant Pearl Jam fan since the beginning, and through a long line of connections leading all the way to Stone himself, was able to get us two amazing seats, maybe 30 feet from the stage on the right side, Stone Zone. I never got to meet Stone or anything, but it was so cool to me that one of my uncle's friends really knew one of my heroes.
That's pretty badass.
Anyway, it is, yeah. Yeah, to know a guy who knows a guy who knows Stone.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, can I just say I wasn't shitting on him getting an English degree. I was shitting on the fact that I couldn't read. Spit it out. Yes, I couldn't read English. Sorry, Ford. Anyways, the fan to my immediate left was a little bit more hardcore than me and immediately noticed my status as a Pearl Jam greenhorn. My new friend took it upon himself to show me just how shows used to be, at least for him, and started to mosh with me a little. It was all in good fun, but I can see how from further away it could have looked like I was getting beat up or something. So during the instrumental jam in the middle of Porch, Eddie actually eyed me and flashed me a thumbs up to see if I was okay. I flashed it back and he smiled and kept fucking rocking. Later in the evening, as Eddie was throwing out tambourines to the GA crowd, he handed one to the security guards and pointed to me. No fucking way, I thought. Sure enough, the guard walked over to me, walked to just under me and tossed up a genuine Eddie Vedder tambourine into my shaking hands. One of the coolest experiences of my whole life. Even better, as I got home that night, my mom informed me that a friend of a friend of a friend actually was willing to hand deliver a letter to Stone on my behalf if I wanted. I wrote my fucking heart out. Seven pages.
Damn.
Of pure fanboy. 7 pages of pure fanboying that makes my present self a little embarrassed, but 15-year-old me thought was perfect. Of course, I never heard back or anything, but it does make me happy to know that maybe Stone or even Eddie might have gotten to read something that I had written.
That's cool, man.
Dude, I love that. I love that story. 15-year-old Brad B would have done the exact same thing.
Damn right.
Sorry if that was a little overlong. I've never really been able to gush about my Pearl Jam fanaticism to many people, and that's part of the reason I love your podcast so much. Listening while I'm working or stressed feels just like I'm talking with two friends and can really help make late nights feel a lot less lonely. Sorry if that's corny, but it is the truth. Can't tell you both enough how much I appreciate the work you do and how great it is to get to share my own obsession with somebody else. Thanks, Ford.
Thanks, Ford. And I don't think that's corny at all.
No, dude, not at all. I mean, that's one of the reasons we do this, is to talk to people like just like Ford.
So hell yeah.
I love that story, though. I love that Eddie, you know, Eddie's always, you know, watching out for people, you know?
I love that so much.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Like, he's so good at what he does. He's so good at being a badass. He can be he can be on stage and not only perform the way he performs, but he can also, like, he knows what's going on in the front. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Especially for, that's one thing if you're playing theaters and clubs, but to play venues as big as they play, and, you know, you've seen up at the rail, like, there's a pretty decent distance between the rail and the stage and where people are on the stage, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that he's paying that close attention at, like, every show is pretty fucking cool.
Right.
Well, thanks, Ford. Thanks for giving us a reason to bring back story time.
Speaking of, like, playing to big crowds and stuff, you've been on a couple of big stages before, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten booed?
No.
No?
Okay. No. Booed? Okay.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I think I'd have to jump off a bridge.
Well, you know, like, every rock star is like, yeah, everyone goes through it. We've always gotten booed. We've gotten booed before. Like, everyone's gotten booed. And I just wondered, like, if you'd ever been in that situation.
No, I don't know. I don't think. I mean, the only times I would have gotten booed.
What about just, like, playing in a, like, you've played in just, like, bar bands, right? Have you guys ever, you know, just been at, like, a tiny club playing?
And got, no. I mean, I've just never been booed.
That's great.
The only times I would have been booed was probably when I was younger. And, like, I mean, like,
well, yeah,
teenager. But no one's going to boo a bunch of teenagers. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't know. You'd be surprised.
I mean, have I been in bands or played for people where there was people in the crowd that probably didn't like the band or the music? Yeah. But never been booed.
Yeah.
No. I would, well, I don't know. You got to really piss people off to be booed, I think.
Yeah.
And I think you have a better.
Speaking of that.
What?
Go on.
Nothing. It doesn't matter. It's just going to be me rambling again.
I want to hear it. That's why I asked you.
Most of the time, if you're getting booed, it's not because you suck so bad. Usually, it's because you said something or done something to piss off the crowd.
Right.
You know? Like, what the fuck are you doing on stage if you're so bad that you get booed?
Well, sometimes it's the band you're opening for, too. Like, what was I listening? I was listening to somebody. They said they were opening. Oh, I know it. It was Candlebox opened for Metallica. And...
yeah, that's a different situation. And that's James, not because they
James
suck.
James was like, hey, what'd you guys think of Suicidal Tendencies? And the crowd's like, rah, all right, what'd you think of Candlebox? They're all booing.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. But I mean, I've heard that, you know, sometimes like there's these weird pairings of bands.
The same Candlebox, that happened to them with Rush.
Pretty much, the people booed?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Rush fans. I mean, I love Rush. I don't think I'd boo a band. Oh, I don't know.
Dude, Rush fans are fucking brutal.
I guess so. But like Slayer, like pretty much nobody's going to open for Slayer and not get booed. You know what I mean? Those people are fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, again, it's not about the band, like they can't play
or
something.
No, I know. I know that. I'm just saying, have you ever been in that situation for whatever reason?
I'm lucky in that sense, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is a good one. This is from Michael Glendon. He says, hey, everyone, I woke up this morning, unlocked my phone, and discovered that my episode idea was ready for listening. All of these were great lists, but I especially liked Kate's Dark album. Really original. So just as a reminder, Michael Glendon is the one that emailed in for the Ultimate album list that we all created. When all, you know, we got together with the porch, what was that, a week and a half ago, something like that?
Yeah.
Right? Like 10 days ago?
We recorded it. Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah. It came out last week.
Right. Let's see here. Any other details you want to give us about that?
About last week's episode?
Yeah, I was just kidding. You were gonna. It sounded like you were stopping yourself from really going into the minutia of like when we actually recorded it and then when it came out. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna do, and then I thought, no, I just keep your mouth shut. Less is more.
I'm proud of you, Brad. He says, Michael says, I figured that I would send you my list as well. Of course. A few notes. There was a good observation about how Pearl Jam often has a weird opener. I like the idea of kicking down the door, then using the second song as the one that feels like the real starting point. I also approached this as an A-B side. I didn't include Wasted Reprise as a full song because it's more of an interlude, so my list is actually 13 songs. He says, the first time I saw Pearl Jam was at the New Orleans Jazz Fest around 10 years ago. He says, I'm from Toronto, Canada, and it was awesome to make a trip just to see those guys. When they played In My Tree, Eddie ends his lyrics by repeating, still got it, after the I'm holding on to my innocence line. It is still my favorite version of that song. So here we go. He's got side A opening with Brain of Motherfucking J. Then Ocean up second, then Last Exit, then Save You, then Glorified G, and ends side A with In My Tree. That's pretty cool.
Pretty good.
I like Glorified G making an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Then side B is Spin the Black Circle, Corduroy, Breath, Elderly Woman, Wasted Reprise, Alive, and then Release. Thanks again to all of you for the two great podcasts, Mike. Man, thanks for that list, and thanks again for the idea for the show. Appreciate it.
Totally. Yeah, I got to say too, we got a ton of emails with people and
their
own ultimate track list. Yeah, couldn't read them all, but not on air. But I did read all through them. They're pretty good. There's some really good ultimate track lists out there.
Hell yeah, they're all very different. I feel like it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks again, Michael.
All right. Brian Cohen. Okay, Bradley's, just had a flashback to the 1990s department stores. Do you remember Bradley's?
I don't.
I don't know if I've heard of that or not.
They must not have been in the South.
Yeah. So I tried this Ultimate album. I had commented it under Brad B's post, but when I played it, I realized it was too similar. Like every song started with a simple guitar picking or chord and turned into a masterpiece. Given to Fly, Corduroy, Gone, Rearview Mirror, Faithful. You see where I'm going. The one thing I did like was I took inspiration from Jess and opened with a non-song and into a bigger one. So I had Arc opening into Faithful. But I wanted to get away from this and I wanted to get away from the hits and follow the flow. I ended up with the most depressing and sad album ever. So here we go. Arc, Faithful, Save You, Garden, Fatal, Not For You, Low Light, Rearview Mirror, and Insignificance. All Right, Smile, and Hard to Imagine. Yikes.
Yeah, but I love that.
You love, I was going to say, I mean, you love that one.
Yeah, man.
That is some of the darkest stuff they have.
I love opening with Arc, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Arc and the Faithful. Ending with a Hard to Imagine. That's a great, that's a great like early 90s Pearl Jam album closer, Hard to Imagine.
Oh, the outro of that song?
Yes. Woo! Yeah. He goes on and says, so I showed my daughter who loves Pearl Jam too. She said, Dad, why are you so fucking emo? Low Light into Rearview Mirror? It was really bad. By the time I got to Insignificance, I was depressing myself. But that brought forward another subject. What is emo music, and is Pearl Jam an emo band? According to my 18-year-old, they're definitely emo, and this collection of super depression proves it. What you got?
Oh, man. Well,
I mean, yeah.
Don't ask me about, what do you call that? Genre?
Emo bands?
Classifications.
Yeah. Yeah, I would never put them as an emo band. And I listen to some bands. I do too. If you're just going by lyrically, totally.
Some of it.
But when I think of emo bands, I think of like Weezer and Fall Out Boy and Bayside. Like they're super, like those songs are super like,
yeah, I think of
Heart on Your Sleeve. And
the first band that comes to my mind is My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of the phase that I missed. That was, I don't know. That's probably about 10 years later, right? It's like, it's almost like the next generation's Seattle movement, you know?
Yeah. Aiden. I guess there's different, yeah, but there was emo bands like in the mid-90s. That's when I first heard that term of emo. As a genre.
Right.
And it was like mid to late 90s. And then there was like the whole pop punk thing, which turned into, there was like the second wave of, I guess, emo pop or emo punk bands. Like you said, like My Chemical Romance and like Fall Out Boy were like.
That's what I think of when I think version. Of emo.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, I guess, I think that basic classification, yes, they're an emo band.
Yeah, if you're going by lyrics, you know, totally. Yeah. But I think a lot of those bands was the way they looked, which shouldn't ever come into play, but it totally does.
That was the, dyed black hair, lots of looks like you just got out of bed kind of vibe, but
guy-liner.
A little bit more Euro. Yeah, the black fingernail painted, that kind of thing. I went through. I did that for about 6 months. Didn't take well on me.
Right.
What do we got next? Or was that the end? Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, dude. Chris Thomas. This is in response to the Ultimate albums as well. What?
Nothing. I just noticed his intro, and I'm pretty sure he's making fun of you.
Oh, he definitely is.
Okay.
He says, he says, hi, Brad and Brad and Jate and Kessie. Yep, I did that on the last episode. He says, tremendous idea by Michael Glendon. This was a really fun thought experiment, and I enjoyed hearing your 12-track lists. I know this wasn't meant to be a contest between you four on who had the best track list, but if I were to pick a favorite of mine, it would be Kate's.
As I've gotten older, I've come to enjoy more eclectic music, and I love the fact that she starts with dance and ends with Hard to Imagine. I never would have thought to book in a track list with those, but they work so well. For my track list, I looked at it in a side A and side B format like the Brads. For my opening track, it came from watching the Live at the Garden show many times and hearing what the DVD opens with. Ever since hearing Ark in the background as fans are entering Madison Square Garden, it's been a track I've wanted to see how it works, kicking off a record. The closer is present tense. I would love to see this as a closer in a set list of theirs. The outro is my perfect ending to a track list. I put Given to Fly right after Ark because because the euphoric beginning to Given to Fly seems to complement the beautiful tribute to the nine individuals honored from Roskilde. After doing this, I found myself filling out the rest of both sides of the record as a flow of euphoria. I wanted to open the second side with Wasted Reprise as a calm before the storm, and then go into Alive and Quick Escape. Into Alive and Quick Escape, which both feature the adrenaline-filled Mike Effin McCready blowing my mind. So here we go. He has side A, Arc, into Given to Fly, into Unthought Known, into In My Tree, into All Right, and then In Hiding. I fucking love that side A.
Yeah, I mean, Arc into Given to Fly is fucking amazing.
Dude. In Hiding, In My Tree, Unthought Known, Given to Fly. I mean, I love All Right and Arc, but those other four, that's a Bradline special right there.
Yeah.
Side B, Wasted Reprise, into Alive, into Quick Escape, then Of the Girl, then You Are, then Present Tense. It's a cool side B. I never would have thought of those together. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on the flow of this track list. I played it a handful of times on Spotify to test it out, and I'm enjoying it very much. Forced to endure what I could not forgive, Chris. Oh, he also says, one amendment to my list, switch You Are and Of the Girl. I think it flows better. I can see that, actually. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It seems like the second or third Wasted Reprise into Alive that I saw. Am I incorrect on that?
No, I think you're right. Wasted Reprise is it's just perfect to start the album with.
For
you know,
sure.
Start a side with, you know?
Yeah. Agreed. Man, that's a great list. Thanks for sending that in, Chris. Totally. Good to hear from you again. All right. What do we got next?
Amy. Now I'm going to read this and you can explain.
Okay.
Because we were talking about this earlier.
Oh, right.
She said, this is Little Red Dots, not that one. I think she's talking about the Yield. It's not the one from Yield. Go. Blasting verses in my headphones, dancing in my backyard. At about 2:15 and go, I hear something in the background that makes me think someone's saying something.
I'm sorry.
Door.
I have to stop you for a second, okay. Brad.
Sure.
Because according to my list here, you missed one of her emails, and just for context, I think it's important, because the other emails, which we got first, by the way, this is the first email we got from Amy, it says, everyone's albums were super, Brad L's is the bomb. I just wanted to make sure that got in there real quick. Yeah, you can continue.
Right, okay. Thank you. Yes, okay. I was going to read that second, but I'm glad you pointed it out in case I forgot or misunderstood. All right. She's blasting verses in her headphones, dancing in the backyard at about 2:15 and go. I hear something in the background that makes me think someone's saying something at my front door. I turn the music off and it goes away. Back on, jamming, and I hear it again. I've never heard this before. Listening more closely, I realize it's got to be Stone and one of his little trick sounds that he makes. Lions will have to explain the sound. I have no words for this. She says he puts little red dots in the corner of every painting. We don't realize it's there, but the painting would be incomplete and imbalanced without it. Utterly essential and nearly invisible at the same time. That man is a genius. Amy.
Yeah.
So I listened to it and like cranked it up, and all I heard was kind of like, I don't know what you call it as a musician, but like when a guitar player will like slide their fingers all the way up the neck of the guitar, it makes that like
that little gliss.
Sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then we were talking about it, and you heard something I didn't hear until you pointed it out to me.
Yeah, I think especially because she said, where is it? Oh, boy, where'd it go? Oh, she says, I hear something in the background that makes me think someone's saying something at my front door. I don't know if this is what she's talking about, but there is a layered, I think it's in your right speaker. If you listen with headphones on, when you get to the chorus at around 2:15, the first time he sings the first Don't Go On Me, after that, there is a guitar, it's an overdub on the right speaker, which probably is Stone, just going, it might even just be an octave part on the guitar where it's just one note with an octave, and it's just like a gang, 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 into the next section. Does that make sense? Did I explain that well?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Because the gow, that part, that's what I hear.
Right. So he goes, don't go on me, don't go on. It's in between every don't go on me. And like, I think it's every other one once it comes in. If you listen to it, Eddie adds, it's the same note, the vocal and the same guitar part are the same note. And Eddie on top of it sings the please. So every other time he's singing, please don't go on me. But that matches that guitar part. And it kind of flips back and forth. I hope that makes sense. Might not even be what she's talking about, but that's what I took away from it.
I think that's it. Because I could, once you explain it to me, I could kind of hear, I hear Eddie like in the background. It's real quiet, that please part.
Right. Well, I do want to say this, though. She, it's weird. You ever have times in your life where you feel like this basically the same conversation comes up like multiple times over a week or 2 weeks, and it's like, that's so weird. I just talked to someone else about the same concept or idea or whatever. And when she says he puts the little red dot in the corner of every painting, we don't realize it's there, but the painting would be incomplete and imbalanced without it, like that. Oh, and then the next line, utterly essential and nearly invisible at the same time. That is the key to every interesting record, where whether it comes from the producer or it comes from the band or a combination of both, which I feel like is this case. There's the song, but I do this all the time with people. If you listen to a song that I produce for someone, for example, there's all the main parts, right? There's the drum part. There's one or two guitars going on. Maybe there's a little bit of keys. Usually just guitars, bass guitar, vocals, maybe some harmonies, right? And you listen to a song and you think, and Go is a good example. Like, that's what it is. And you hear them live and it sounds pretty much the same. But if you were to take those sessions and keep the song playing and mute every normal track, right? Like main guitar part, like what you hear when the band plays live. If you mute all that and listen to what's left over, it's probably some really cool, weird, textury sounding stuff that you never noticed before. But like she said, if you take it out, you're like, what the fuck just happened? I don't know what just happened, but something changed in the song. Those weird little things, like Eddie's weird little grunts and noises that are in the background that aren't way up front, all that stuff, if you cleaned all that stuff up, like what happens now with things like Pro Tools, it removes something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's one of the things I love about the records.
We talked about this same concept a couple weeks ago. But I can't remember what song it was that we were talking about.
Yeah. I do that a lot.
But like, I was saying, yeah, if it sounds like if this part was taken off, you would like notice it, but only like in a subtle way.
Right. You wouldn't know what left, but you would have known something was gone if you took that stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a really, I mean, that just applies to art in general, though. That's why I
kind of that popped out when she wrote that, because that's a pretty deep, it takes a long time, whether you're an actual painter or you're a musician or a poet or whatever. Like, I think that concept applies to almost all art, and it exists in what we would consider most of the great art.
Yeah, Easter eggs, yeah. Really, essentially, is kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah,
those are
for
the
sure.
Best.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's a texture. Those noises and those weird things are what sets it apart from just a normal rock mm-hmm. and roll song or
right.
whatever it is, you know? Well, thanks for that, man. That was a great email. Appreciate it, Amy. All right, so we got one more left.
One more.
We got Jana. Again, about the Ultimate Pearl Jam album. She says, hello, Brad's longtime listener here who's been meaning to write in for way too long. Have to say, I seriously don't know what I like more about your show, the awesome Pearl Jam discussions or your crazy funny tangents and banter. I've literally laughed out loud many times listening to you guys, which is pretty interesting when you're alone on a crowded subway car at 8 a.m. I fucking love it. We get those a lot. Or, you know what I mean? It makes me think of Janan, you know?
I was going to say, wasn't it Janan was on the bus and just started laughing or something at us?
She goes on to say, anyway, loved the Ultimate Pearl Jam album episode with Kate and Jesse, and I couldn't resist putting together my own. I tried to capture something from as many studio albums as possible. I also have a distinct A side and B side. I liked that kind of was a theme for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a lot of fun, but harder than it seemed. Here goes.
Mm-hmm.
Side A, Save You, Dance of the Clairvoyance, Life Wasted, Tremor Christ, Black, Not For You. Woo! I mean, that... I like that. Is this a new email? I didn't see this email.
Yeah, this came in a couple hours ago.
Like, just a couple hours ago. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Side B. Oh, man, Jana. Okay, side B starts with Unthought Known. That's a great opener for side B. Good job. Smile after that, then Given to Fly, then Rearview Mirror, then I Am Mine, and then fucking Immortality to close it. That's great. Thank you for the awesome Pearl Jam nerdery and giving me something to look forward to on Monday mornings. Hope you and your families are all safe and healthy during these crazy times. Jana Gitlin. She lives in Astoria, New York. That's cool, man.
Where is that? Upstate? Manhattan?
No, it's not Manhattan. It's just a borough. Astoria. Oh my God. What was that? Siri got in the conversation.
I asked Siri where Astoria is.
Yeah, it's one of the boroughs of Manhattan.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. If we're talking about the same thing.
But I mean, probably. She's on a subway.
That's a good point. Yep. There you go. I'm going to go for
it. But this side B is awesome too, because it's like all those songs are like really, this is the opposite of the dark stuff. These are like super like upbeat, positive songs, you know?
Which ones?
Side B.
Really?
Smile, Given to Fly, even Rearview Mirror, which is kind of dark, but you're getting away from the
dude,
bad stuff.
Rearview Mirror's dark as fuck.
Well, yeah, but
Immortality?
I don't know.
You're killing me, Brad. Well, no, I get what you're saying. Geez. It's just funny. I look at that list and I go, man, that's pretty dark. That's funny.
I don't know.
So you look at Rearview Mirror more like, oh, you're leaving the shit behind in a positive
sense.
Yeah,
you're finally getting away from the bad stuff.
Empowering
to rebirth.
In a way.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. I never thought, I mean, I get that that's kind of what the song's about, but I feel like it's still in the angry part of leaving, kind of the dark, fucked up part.
Yeah.
It's all subjective, man. I'm not saying you're wrong. it's interesting. We've talked about that song so many times.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of the lists that came in after this last episode, and Rearview Mirror was on like...
People love that song, which I do too, so I get it.
I get it.
All right, cool. Well, that's the emails. If you'd like to email the show, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You could head over to social media. We're there. And if you would like to support the show, you could head over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory for all of that information. And I believe we have at least one new patron this week.
We do. Speaking of Jana Gitlin, that we just read her email, she is a new patron also. So there we thank go. You again, Jana. We appreciate it.
Yeah, double thanks. All right, well, you want to do this, man?
Yeah, let's do it.
A little ole. Let's get
into a, I don't know, controversial song? What do you think of this song?
Not controversial. You mean in terms of like whether people like it or not?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
this song is...
Is what?
It's like people hate it. Hate it.
Oh, I don't hate it.
I don't either. I mean, I like it. It's just a fun song. Mm-hmm. But man, there's people online. You know, those people on the Facebook and the porch, they say it's the worst song ever.
Well, you know,
I don't understand, and I don't understand why. I don't get it. It's I don't know. It's not like a weird bad song.
No, it's a one-off single that I think. You know, I don't know. That's one of those things where, like, okay, put it on the record. Are people going to be bitching about it? I think sometimes people just don't like the offshoot singles. Maybe that's...
I don't know why, though. I don't know.
Like, I'd rather have that than... I mean, let me be clear here. I love everything. Like for Christmas singles, man, I don't give a fuck what it is. It's just cool to get something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not being one of those same way. Snotty fans, but
well, here's go on.
Much prefer to get a new song, even if it's not going to make it into my like favorite Pearl Jam songs list. Like I'd rather get that than a copy of a live cover. If I'm going to choose, you know?
Yeah. I guess my point is, like, I understand why people don't like Can't Deny Me. It's kind of got a weird slow tempo. It's political. I mean, I like the song, but I can understand why people wouldn't like that song. But Olay, I don't get why people hate it so much.
I didn't know that there was such a hatred for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
For some reason. This came out, if I'm correct, this came out around the press for Pearl Jam 20, didn't it?
Yes.
Because they had played it on, and we'll listen to some of it. They were on Fallon, your favorite late night host. Yeah. And
yeah, I'll give you some facts. It came out September 8th, 2011, which was right in the middle of all the Pearl Jam 20 hoopla, the book, the movie was coming out. So this came out like a few hours before Jimmy Fallon, where they played it live on Jimmy Fallon for the first time. And it also was available like that same day.
Right.
And if I remember right, it was a surprise. Like nobody knew the song was coming out.
Yeah, I remember being surprised by it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago, but well, should we just go ahead and give the recorded version a listen here?
Yeah, let's listen to it. It's only what 2.5 minutes, yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's a showdy.
It's a quick one. That's an yeah.
Well, okay, all right.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand hating that song.
Yeah, it's a banger.
It's pretty a fun fucking song. Cool.
I would love to hear that live. It's just, I mean, Matt is kicking ass back there. That bass line. It's just a fun, like, punky kind of song.
Well, and it sounds very Pearl Jam 2011. Like, it makes sense, you know?
Right.
It, I don't know. I like how shitty it sounds, like, in a good way. Like, it's, it's, like, intentionally sounds kind of, like, lo-fi and, very live. I mean, all their shit's very live, yeah, even in the studio. Yeah. But this, you know, this, it sounds like what we were talking about earlier with Amy's email. This is a song example of all that felt not heard stuff not being there, right? This is this sounds like a, it's just two guitars, bass, drums, vocal kind of thing going on with a couple of those harmony BGV overdubs, obviously, but it's just no bullshit, straight ahead.
Yeah, I love that bass line.
Yeah, for sure. I like the lyrics, man.
I mean, that's, the lyrics are fun.
Yeah.
What do you say when you've had enough of knuckleheads?
Like, ole.
It's ole.
That's funny as fuck.
It's great. Yeah.
I like the...
But then the next line is when you've seen enough bloodshed.
Right.
The bloodshed, you know? It's like, man, Eddie can, he can get in there, you know, and make you think, but make you laugh at the same time.
Well, yeah, and then one of those, that last grouping, I guess that last chorus is stuff like, what do you say when they give the guy the go-ahead? What the fuck does that mean? It works, though.
Yeah.
What do you say when you're spitting up on your bed? Oh, my God. Enough bloodshed. But I like the, I still can't help but wonder why I'm feeling laughed at by the sky. I fucking love that line.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun. That's what this is like. This is why I want to talk about this song, because I don't even know if a lot of people know this song, because it came out, you know, and it never came out on an album or anything. And since people like hate it so much, you never hear about the song anymore.
Right.
But to me, it's such, it's a good song. It's fun. It just kind of, it kind of kicks ass live.
Sure. Yeah, speaking of, how do you want to do this? Do you want to stick with the original order here? Do you want to listen to, you know, you want to put some balls in your mouth, or do you want some live LA?
Yeah, let's get some balls in my mouth, get that, you know, done and over with, because we do need to talk about it.
Yeah, all right, everyone, listen, Brad's going to be all fucking,
I'm going to be professional.
But you hate Jimmy Fallon
don't know,
so much.
I hate Jimmy Fallon so much, and I had to watch this again for the show. But because I'm a pro, that's all I'm gonna say. So hit it.
Okay. All right.
The oil spill by BP has left tar balls all over the sea. So don't go swimming down in the south, unless you want tar balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth, balls in your mouth. Don't swim in the ocean, you'll get balls in your mouth.
I can't remember at this point, is Eddie on stage yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he kind of, there's a reveal, I think.
Yeah.
There he is.
This is when he comes out, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
You'll get balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth. Swim in the ocean. You'll have balls in your mouth. Go ahead. Balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth. Don't swim in the ocean. You'll get balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth. Don't swim in the ocean. You'll get balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth.
I love the Roots back there doing
like
this. I
do like
those,
the Roots. Yes. Do, do, do.
Balls in your mouth, balls in your
So
it is fun to see Ed having some fun.
I like the moments he picks to not take himself seriously. Not that I think he takes himself seriously. I think actually he doesn't, but just in jokey ways.
He's got an image though.
Yeah.
Of being super, you know.
Well, I mean, dude, when you're spitting out lyrics like, you know, especially the ones he kind of got known for at the beginning and
right.
just that whole persona, like his shit's so heavy that, you know, I understand why people have that kind of perception of him for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, should we listen to. Oh, well, I just want to say this real quick. I know I won't talk about it much, but I just want to say that I fucking love The Roots so much.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, their records are so good. It's pretty cool. Even though it was for Balls in Your Mouth that Eddie did something with The Roots. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, totally.
Well, let's listen to how it came across live. How about that? Especially since we were talking about how it's
kind of
no bullshit recording.
Excuse me. Like I said, this was like right in the midst of all the Pearl Jam 20 stuff. I think the concert weekend had been like 4 days prior.
Right.
And this was Cameron Crowe was the guest on the show.
You feel the energy. You feel the energy right now.
And here we go.
They have a brand new song called Olay that will be available on the web tonight for free. But they're about to play it for the first time right here. Please welcome Pearl Jam!
Dude, I'm going to be honest. For my money, I think I like this version maybe more than the recorded version.
The single?
Yeah.
Totally. It looks like they're having so much fun. Matt sounds... That snare is cutting through.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
Yeah. Agreed. God, his voice, those screams breaking up were great.
Yeah. Mike, using some kind of weird like delay pedal or something? What is that?
Yeah, he's got definitely got delay on it for sure. And a lot of dirt.
Yeah. Now this part is a little rough.
What was wrong with that part?
I don't know. The Matt singing those backup vocals.
Oh.
I don't know. That part just didn't work for me.
I hear you.
But, yeah. I mean, it's a fun song. It sounds... That would be... I don't know. I think that would be awesome live. It's just a quick, punky, fast song.
Yeah. I dig it, man. I don't... I wonder if our... You know, listenership count for the week is going to reflect the hatred for this song.
Yes, yeah. Maybe don't Don't put Ole in the title.
Oh, it's that's all that's going to be there.
Yeah, just wow.
No, nah, fuck that, man. I mean, you know, it was when you brought this up for a topic this week.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't know, dude. We're at episode 145. Some weeks it's hard to, you know, think of a good topic. And
right.
And at first I was like, oh, God, here we go. We're really getting into the stuff that, you know, it's showing that we're episode 145. But listening to it, because I think part of that was that I hadn't listened to it in a very long time.
Yeah, it sounds good, right? It still sounds...
Exactly.
It kind of surprised me when I listened to it, because I hadn't listened to it in a while either. And I'm like, I don't know if somebody mentioned it, something. I'm like, I got to check that out. And I'm like, this song is really good.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from some Ole haters why they think it's such a bad song. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear from the haters.
Now, what would make sense to me is that if you heard there's going to be a, I don't know, maybe in 2011, what was the last record that had come out in 2011?
That's what I was trying to figure out, like the timeline. Well, Lightning Bolt was 2013.
Right.
So we were still 2 years away from that. Backspacer was what, 2009?
Yeah, it was 2009. So it was 2 years since the record. I just wonder if
this was
people were expecting some big Pearl Jam song.
I guess, because it was like the 20th anniversary celebration. Mm-hmm. But to me, this is like they just wanted to do something cool and throw out this single that was not part of a record, you know?
Right. Well, and you using the word celebration, it makes it make sense. It's like, mm-hmm. No, we're going to put out something like, here's this cool little fun song that we did, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I'm increasingly more and more interested in parts of people's catalogs that aren't like the quintessential parts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it tells you a lot about the depth that might exist with a band, right? So if you had a band like Pearl Jam that was just kind of held together by, you know, they've got 11 records, but they've only really got like, I don't know, a handful of songs out of all that people still really get into or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Pearl Jam though. There's just so much stuff. Like there's the 11 studio albums. There's the fucking 2-disc Lost Dogs set. There's all the Christmas singles. There's just so they have given like so much of what they've created. And I bet, I mean, they're a band that seems to me that we've gotten everything I just listed, and there's still probably really great stuff that we've never heard that just never made it out onto anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the real deal, man. Whether you like the band or not, I mean, everyone listening to this likes them, but mm-hmm. for the haters, it's like, okay, all right, you don't like them. But don't say that they're not good, or they're not important, or that they're irrelevant, at least as far as subject matter in their songs, because they're not, you know? That's what I think, Brad B.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, did we do it?
I think we did it. We did it again.
Ole!
You're a knucklehead.
I am a knucklehead.
I've had enough of you.
I've been spitting up on the bed. Ugh, God. I ain't got no words for all that's wrong, Brad.
That's a foreshadowing. A buckle up.
Ooh. Next week's topic. Nope. Could you imagine next buckle week?
Up. Are we?
Buckle up versus Ole.
Yeah, here we come. Yes.
Oh, man. People would hate that shit. All right, let's get out of here.
All right, man.
All right. until next week. Well, no, you know, we're going to do the housekeeping. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to forget. Email us, singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. Social media, you know where to go for that. Support the show. You want to be a patron? Patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek saying, I ain't got words for all that's wrong.
Olay.
Olay.
Oil of Olay. I've been holding that in for the last hour and a half.
Oh.
And I couldn't find a good place to put it.
Throw it in.
Yeah. Just dump it in the back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a better choice of words I could have used just then. All right, let's go.